I figured I've got some explaining to do. There were some people who were confused about where I've been and what I've been up to. I am Pastor Eric Chaplin, Eric Niter. I used to be the associate pastor here. And for the last 4 months, I've been kind of walking down two roads at the same time, the first of which is the Navy Reserve. And I reaffiliated with the Navy Reserve this summer, and once a month I put on my Navy uniform and I go over to Great Lakes and I play Navy and march around and do Navy stuff and training. And I'm part of a Marine unit, so we support the Marines. The Marines don't have their own chaplains. Navy chaplains support Marines. And we support a Marine unit over in Okinawa. And if they ever get called up for war, then our detachment of five chaplains and four enlisted people would go and support them and provide religious services for them. That took me out to Rhode Island 2 weeks ago. I spent 2 weeks in Rhode Island learning what it means to be a naval officer again. I've been out for 5 years, so they wanted me to go through it again. And it's been about 20 years since I've done that kind of stuff. So it was fun playing those reindeer games and getting my uniform inspection ready and marching everywhere and saluting people. And it was a refresher, sort of. Mostly it was just pouring wisdom into people. About half of my classmates had never been in the military before. And there was one guy, a doctor, he's about 58. Never been in the military before. His kids are now out of high school, out of college, and he's a rehabilitation doctor. And he's decided to scale back his practice so that he can now give time to our nation and to the military. I thought it was really cool. But he was what I call a soup sandwich. I don't know if you've ever tried to pour soup onto a sandwich. That was kind of how Doc Kanar was. But it was fun to take him under my wing and really guide him and show him how to wear a uniform. And kind of stress to him why all this marching and running and hurrying and being in the wrong place at the wrong time was a bad thing for the last couple of weeks. So that's the first thing I've been doing, is walking down that Navy Reserve Road. The other road I've been walking down is an educational opportunity over at Condell Hospital in Libertyville. I'm in clinical pastoral education. So we are a group of five. We're hospital chaplains, but then we also meet to read books and talk about different ways of applying pastoral care, different ways to be pastoral in different situations, in all of the myriad of circumstances that we might walk into. So during the day, I'm assigned two floors of the hospital, and I go there and I care for those patients and track them for as long as their hospital stay is. And then about two nights a week, usually one during the week and then one on the weekend, I am the chaplain for the whole hospital, and they sleep in. And if anything happens in the emergency room or the ICU or anywhere else in the hospital, then I respond, and I go and I be with people in the midst of life, whatever that is, and whatever they're coming from. And it's been a challenge. It's been a good challenge. It's been a lot of fun. I tell you, one of the things I've had to come to grips with real quick is there's not a lot of Missouri Synod Lutherans in the world. There just isn't, right? I mean, we come here and, big church, growing church, lots. We're still a very small piece of the pie. Right? So when I walk into a room, I can't just assume that they look at the world the way I do, and that they read Scripture the way I do, that they read Scripture at all, that they have any validity to the Scripture, right? Because I've been ministering to people, and Muslim and Hindu and a Jainist. No, neither was I. I had to go look it up on Google. And just be with people. You know, sometimes I get to share the promises that I have and the hope that I have and the hope that I've come to know from my baptism, the baptism of my kids, my family, and you all, and the promises that God pours out on us. And that's fun. And sometimes they don't have that. And I go get a hot blanket out of the warming oven where we keep all the blankets, and I put that over them, and I just sit and listen to them and hope that maybe the Holy Spirit's going to create an opportunity where I can pour a little bit of light into their circumstances. Because there's a whole lot of darkness out there. And Pastor Tiemann started to allude to this on Christmas Eve. If you were here for the messages, he's talking about, right? The joy of Christmas and all the packages and the bright colored and the trees and all of the candy. But yet there is a tinge of life which sometimes isn't quite so candy-coated and chocolate dipped, and it's really kind of painful at times. And I was reminded of that, not only in this reading, right, where Simeon You've got these brand new parents and they're coming to church with their child for the first time. And he says, yay! So happy to have you here. God is fulfilling his promises. And oh, by the way, this child is going to be a pain in the you-know-where for the whole country. And not only that, mother, this child is going to cause you a lot of pain. A sword will pierce your soul. I'm so glad nobody told me that when we brought Benjamin to get baptized 12 years ago on the Sunday after Christmas. But that's how it was. And you try to imagine, what are Mary and Joseph thinking? Right? They've seen angels, they've seen shepherds, they've seen wise men, maybe didn't show up quite yet. But here's this old man raising up their child in the temple. There's this old woman coming up and praising God. They've heard of messiahs before. I mean, if you know anything about first century Palestine, there were messiahs like every couple of years. Somebody was coming up claiming to be the messiah. And they'd get a band of followers and they'd start a rebellion and they'd have swords and they'd kill a couple of Romans and then they'd be suppressed. And you got to think maybe Mary and Joseph were a little bit skeptical about this whole venture, don't you? Is this really going to happen? Or is this going to be like everybody else? This is some sort of pseudo-messiah. Some sort of false hope. And yet, 2,000 years later, of all of the messiahs that claim to be, how many can you name? Only Jesus of Nazareth, the true Christ, who brings hope, not just in life's sugar-coated moments, but in life's darker moments. When mothers have to watch their children be taken much too early. Whether that's Mary or whether that's you or somebody you know. God is with us in the light and in the dark. I was thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, even last summer when we were doing our film series and I went to watch the new film Inside Out. Anybody seen Inside Out? Yes, a lot of kids really need some help because a lot of the older folks, they haven't gotten it yet. They need to go see it though, don't they? You like it? Yeah. About a little girl, right? A little girl named Riley. She's 11 years old. It's a cartoon. But the cartoon is about what's going on inside her head as an 11-year-old girl. And she's moving from Minnesota to California, which is enough to make even me cry. But she goes there with her family, and the house isn't what she imagined, and the kids at school aren't very nice to her, and the new hockey team isn't like the old hockey team. And she starts to lose her joy, right? And kids, you know, before 11, just about everything is joy, right? It's all happiness and sugar-coated. And about that 11-year-old is when you start to realize the world is not quite as nice as mom and dad tried to make it out to be. And inside of her brain, inside Riley's brain, there's these five characters which are kind of working to help keep a handle on things. There is joy. Right? And she's gold and everything shines and it's all wonderful and she's all together all the time. But there's also sadness and fear and anger and, who am I missing? Disgust. Right, disgust. Right? And these five work together to kind of help Riley make sense of the world. Well, something happens and joy is out of control. She and sadness they're sucked out of the control room. And all that's left in Riley's brain is anger, disgust, and fear. And she doesn't know how to be joyful anymore. And joy is frantic. She just wants to get back and get things back on a steady state, all sugar-coated, chocolate-dipped wonderfulness wrapped in cotton candy, right? And I think sometimes people get that idea of Christianity too, right? That everything should be sugar-dipped, candy-coated, chocolate-covered Jesus. And you and I know it. That's not the life I live. That's not how things happen. But they get this perception, and so they stay away from church when they don't feel sugar-coated and chocolate-dipped. Because they feel like, well, I got to be shiny and happy if I'm going to go to church. I got to put my best clothes on. I got to put my best face on. And then people will love me and accept me if I can be joyful. And if I'm going to be sad, if I'm going to be Debbie Downer, then I better just stay away from church. And if it happens long enough and I don't find any joy, well, then maybe church isn't a place for me at all or ever. And I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking up and down, which is what I've seen all weekend. Because you know and I know that there's a life after Christmas. And we don't get to live under the tree 365 days a year. So I want you to talk to each other for a minute, 2 minutes maybe, about something that has happened in the last year that's been really hard to deal with. And what have you done to get through that? Or what are you doing to get through that? Or what did you do to get through that? Something very difficult that happened in the last maybe 2-3 years. It was hard to handle, but you found a way, and what did you do to find a way through that? Ready? Talk. My smart wife is saying it's time to wrap up. I talked about the hospital and how difficult it is on a daily, on a minute-by-minute basis. You have no idea what you're walking into. And Christmas night was no different. I was over there Christmas night, and I walked in to a family who was grieving the loss of Grandma. She was 88, had a massive heart attack, and she was dead. And there were about 20, 25 of them gathered around, and it was time for them to leave the hospital. And so we gathered around for one last prayer. And in the middle of that prayer, something happens, which happens about 3 to 4 times a day at the hospital. Brahms' lullaby went off. Do you know that song? Lullaby and good night. In the sky stars are bright. May the moon's silvery beams bring you sweet dreams. And that song goes off at the hospital 3 to 4 to 5 times a day every time a baby's born. And in the middle of this prayer, in the middle of this family that was grieving the loss and the death of Grandma, I was reminded, right, that the circle of life is still going on, that the strong arm of the Lord is still present, that He is continuing to bless us for at least one more generation. God's love will carry us through. Why does this matter? Because last year we committed to be a city on a hill, a light in the darkness. And when you're a member of the city of the hill, you don't get to sit in the city. You've got to go out. You've got to go down from Jerusalem into the valley of the shadow of death. And you've got to find other people who are still shrouded in darkness. You've got to come alongside them and extend your hand or your arm and put it around them and listen to them. Be able to relate to their story. It may not be your story. You may not have been through the same thing, but you've been through other stuff that's not fun. You've been through other moments of sadness and anger and fear and disgust. And yet you have found a way to carry on. And in those moments, you can say to them, look, I still see light. Let me take you there and show you what a real community can be. Because God still loves you and God still loves me. And there's nothing we can do about that. So may you go forth this year and bring honor and glory to God's name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.